This is the podcast.
Yay.
Fabulous Adam Richard, outrageous Scott Brennan, punctual Toby Sullivan.
Is this going to take long?
Who knows what dreadful creatures inhabit the reaches of this galaxy?
Talk poofy to me.
All right, girls, I've got a dilemma.
What?
Now, I don't know whether I should do this as a deer talking poofy to you poofters.
Yeah.
Hello, Wes.
Hind.
Or I should start a new segment called Straight Say the Darndest Things.
Oh, I like the latter.
Here we go.
Yes.
I have some straight friends.
Yes.
And some of them are bottom Legos and some of them are top Legos. What are they called?
Men and women?
Yeah, that.
Right. Okay.
And one of my female friends told me that she has been having sexual relations with one of my male friends.
Right.
Yes.
And he has said, bupkis.
What?
Like, fuck all.
He said nothing to you.
To me.
Oh.
Nothing at all. And she said, like, I think I've got feelings for him. And I'm like... Do you know what? And I'm like, oh, well, don't ask me to be in the middle of this because he hasn't mentioned it to me. So I can't go, oh, hey, I know you're sticking it to.
Oh, so she was right. Like, I've got feelings. Can you?
And he's just like,
have a quiet word.
Well, he's not mentioned it to me, so I don't feel like I can broach it with him.
Do you think he hasn't mentioned it? Why does he feel embarrassed?
Well, I don't think he's embarrassed. I think he's just, you know.
He's just having a quiet fuck.
He's just fucking her and then fucking off.
Yeah.
How close are you to him?
I'm probably closer to him than I am to her.
Oh, right.
I know, it's weird.
I want to know who they are.
All right.
Talk poofy to me.
Oh, sick in my mouth.
Oh my God.
Do you know what? If I was him, I wouldn't say anything either. I think he's done the right thing. I think he is. Fucking, you know what? They are their own worst enemy. People are just their own worst enemy. That is a bonehead move.
That is ridiculous.
What good can come of that?
Yeah, I know.
What good can come of that? And what is she thinking? What? Really? He's going to... This is the start of something big with those two?
Yeah.
It is not.
My arms are up in the air. I can't believe it.
Stupid.
Because, especially with the amount of... I can't.
So I shouldn't have told you.
There's a lot of baggage there.
Well, look, it's happened before.
Well, no, you have to tell us because every situation is unique.
Yes.
Everything exists in its own universe. You can't offer general advice on this kind of thing.
But yeah.
Maybe
in short, listeners, these are two people doing it who should not be doing it. Yeah. It is a bad idea.
Yeah. But that's beside the point.
They are a bad match, and they both know that they're a bad match.
That's beside the point. But what do I do as the, like...
Piggy in the middle.
Yeah.
Piggy in the middle, particularly that he hasn't actually spoken to you.
So but I haven't brought it up because I don't think it's appropriate.
But how's it, like, would it be worse... If he spoke to you about it and said, I've been boning, and I think she's got feelings for me and I don't have them for her, would that be better or worse?
No, I'm cold enough to be not
yeah, right.
But then he's brought it up, which means he's opened the floodgates so you can talk about it.
Because, look, it's happened with them before, like years and years ago.
Yeah.
And he brought it up.
Right.
And now this time she's brought it up and she hadn't brought it up with me last time.
Right. Sorry, can I clarify, is this like a regular ongoing thing or this is just like...
No, it happened years ago. It was a kind of a regular ongoing thing.
No, right. I mean now.
I think quite casual. Now, I don't really know what the context is now.
A couple of roots. Do you know what I reckon?
I think it has been like more than one.
You've got an out. You've got an out because he hasn't mentioned it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the kind of perfect way to be able to throw your hands.
Well, I haven't called her back. Because I'm like, well, I don't know what to...
Do you know what? I would mention it to him. If it was me, I would mention it to him.
You just want to him to do that to hear the result.
No, because I can't, because he, in this instance, he's a good friend.
Yeah.
And you couldn't... The static in the back of my head would be too much.
Yeah.
And also... But you know what? I'd
be there talking about coffee or whatever, and in the back of your head...
And knowing him...
Over time, the static goes away, though. Like when you cheat on your partner, it goes away after a while.
You're getting that, everyone? No. You're getting that?
You know, like that for the first few weeks when you think you might have crabs and given it to them.
Yes,
I'm going to have to mention that I accidentally sucked my dick in someone else. And then after a while, it just becomes an niggling thing. I haven't actually thought about it for about a week or two. It's just that I wanted to bring it up.
Okay.
And so,
but I know what you mean. Like, you almost want to mention it, knowing both of them, as we all do.
Mm.
You'd almost want to mention it to him and just go, run.
there's also just, well, it is a bit like that, isn't it, in terms of going my... Knowing, without knowing them or not knowing them, is going, do you actually think that it would be a good thing if these two people are together? Because if you do, then I'd go and talk to him about it for the positive energy of that possible thing, to say she's coming to, say, I don't know.
You know what? I don't like to get involved in either way, because there have been instances where I've said, oh, I think so-and-so would be... You would like so-and-so, and then they end up hooking up. And then for some reason, 8 months later, when he's stolen her car, it's all my fault. It's
fucking fault. You shouldn't have set all those girls up with Chopper Reed.
So chins up, boobs out, it's showtime. Talk Puffy
to me. Well, it's time to talk to, I think we're getting a new sexpert.
We are. We're
not a
getting
replacement sexpert.
We're getting an actual sex therapist.
A sex therapist.
An actual sex therapist.
That is. Yes. That is her voice you can hear now. Cindy Darnell, how are you, darling?
I'm very well, lovely. How are you?
Excellent. Oh, now, you do work with the Minus 18 group, which is, you know...
The Minus 18 sex gurus, specifically.
Sex gurus.
Mm. Now, that's a lot of pressure.
We do get a lot of letters here from people who've not yet had sex, and for some reason they think three aging poofters might be people you should talk to.
Might be good mentors,
and we're not.
So no, our advice is always, don't even get started. It ends in tears and shopping. Rub yourself off in front of a Ryan Gosling movie. Go home.
We thought we should get some actual advice.
Good-o. Yes.
Now, you are a sex therapist, and you are the mentor to the Minus 18 sex gurus. What's that about?
So the Minus 18 is an organisation who advocate on behalf of queer and gender-questioning youngsters, not necessarily under 18, but predominantly under 18.
And they have those parties, because you can't go to nightclubs, clearly, when you're under 18.
Yeah, so they put on a lot of events for young queer kids, and they have sort of, they had a formal a couple of months ago, and in response to the high school thing of where you couldn't bring same-sex partners to the school formal. So they do lots of kind of events for youngsters, which are fantastic. And part of that is the program where I'm the mentor for the gurus, is the gurus are a bunch of youngsters who then go to the parties and hand out information about safer sex practices, and they hand out things like condoms and lube and encourage the youngsters to really talk about sex and sexuality and why it's important.
Right, so,
not
so
to
you,
keep
you,
it in the closet, as it were.
You train the peer educators who then go to the parties. And,
exactly.
Yeah, right.
Do they hand out photos of Scott Brennan and with a big line through it saying, do not approach this man?
No, they don't need to. It's kind of this weird collective unconscious thing. They just know.
It's in the morphic field.
Yes.
Don't go near Scott Brennan.
That's right.
So presumably when you start with these sex gurus, you're not starting from scratch. They know some stuff already.
They know quite a lot of stuff. So
have they got it right?
Look, you know, as teenagers, I mean, I can ask you guys about how it is that you found out about sex.
Trial and fucking error.
Yeah, exactly.
I just put my cock in anything, and so if it hurt, I took it out again.
Totally. Part of it is that, but for a lot of these kids, they're kind of country kids, so where queerness is not necessarily... it's not necessarily safe for these youngsters to come out often in places where they live. Mm. So they'll make the big train journey into the big smoke to come and hang out at one of these meetings, and they get the opportunity to really ask the kinds of questions that I suppose are not accessible to older brothers and sisters, that might be accessible to hetero youngsters, where they're feeling like they need to perhaps hide their queerness, or that they're not exactly sure that they're queer, or whatever it is that might be going on for them, but they know that they've got feelings. They don't know who they can talk to about it. So
do you know what we find here too? Is that there's a lot of questions from kids that isn't covered in mainstream high school sex education. Yeah. We get a lot of emails from kids just going, how does it work? What do I have to do? Just about bum love. They don't know the mechanics of it. Or...
Exactly. And that's one of the big things that we talk about in the Sex Gurus.
Do you call it bum love?
We don't call it bum love. We call it anal sex.
Right.
But, you know, we're a little bit progressive like that.
That makes it sound dirty if you call it anal sex. I prefer bum cuddles.
Special polling time.
I like to call it, I can't sit down on the train on the way home from there.
Yeah. there's a lot of health-focused education, but we've seen just with this podcast that there's not a lot of what would you call it?
Nuts and bolts pleasure-focused.
Pleasure-focused.
So because these kids are youngsters, generally the information that I give them is based around the questions that they ask me. So
does it hurt?
Often. I mean, it is questions like that. You know, can I get HIV if I swallow cum? It's things like that that they ask me. Mm-hmm. So they're the kinds of questions that I need to make sure they understand. And because I think in a lot of, certainly regional high schools, the sex ed probably doesn't cover things like blowjobs and not only how to do it, but the risks involved in potentially contracting HIV or chlamydia or whatever else might be around.
They certainly don't cover making sure that everything's clean if you're going to rim someone either.
Yeah.
Exactly. And, but these things are really important.
Yeah, you don't want to come up looking like you've been chowing down on a caramello koala.
Looks revolting.
Oh.
Unless you've been chowing down on a caramello koala.
Oh, yeah. If you've been rimming a caramello koala.
Caramello koala in there, then by all means, go for it.
Is that legal?
I thought they were endangered too.
Yeah, you can get chlamydia from koalas. You've got to be careful. Yeah.
And Cindy, what do you find they know and what do you find they don't know? Where are the gaps?
About koalas? No. What do the kids know? Look, they know some stuff, but there's still, certainly for young boys, there's that assumption that because you're queer that you have to have anal sex.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
You know, so it's that kind of stuff that, you know, that's all gay men have anal sex all the time and that's all they do.
Yeah, it's really...
We're not all Scott Brennan, no.
But really, it is hard to get to the shop sometimes.
And we talk about alternatives to anal sex. We talk about, you know, what it means to have certain sex acts that are identified as being queer. The anal sex, you know, people think, oh, that's a gay thing to do. And interestingly, you know, lots of lesbians are interested in it as well as straight folks. Mm. So, you know, the act itself doesn't necessarily loan itself to a specific group of people.
Do you have to talk like in, you know, horrible euphemisms and technical language? Like, do you have to say mutual masturbation, which I always found too technical and I didn't want to do it, but I'd been doing it for months.
So whatever the language they use, I use it with them. So,
right.
Or if they ask me, is there a name for such and such, then I'll tell them if they don't know. But whatever is their kind of language, I'll use the same language because, to my mind, if they understand it, then, you know, and often I'm learning new phrases that I didn't know or certainly went around when I was a youngster.
What's your favourite new phrase?
Oh, God, I knew you were going to say that.
Never bring up anything in an interview you don't want to talk about.
The most recent one I've just heard in the last couple of minutes is bum love.
Don't take anything from Toby Sullivan, who speaks his own gay language.
Yes, that's true.
I might put that one to the kids next time I see them, though, and see how they react.
Let's rap about bum love, kids.
So you would say rimming as opposed to analingus?
I would. Well, I'd probably actually say licking the ass first.
Right.
And then I would say this is also known as rimming, or it's known as analingus, as
or
you say.
Scott's handshake.
And I find, even sort of working with teaching adults about sex education, making it as clear and straightforward as possible. I tend to want to err away from the clinical stuff.
Yeah. Not,
I mean, it's kind of partly it's boring. I study that. And my thing, my little sex nerd fetish, is to take the really clinical stuff, take that information, turn it into something that's really palatable and understandable and practical, and then disseminate that, pardon the pun, into the community. So,
but also, you've got a particular interest in knowing you as I do. You have a particular interest in talking about sex and pleasure in particular, because we're not educated about the pleasurable aspect of sex.
Sex is a horrible chore.
Yeah.
It is a horrible, horrible chore that God has deigned that we have to do to keep our fucking partners happy. Honestly.
A man who has sex through a hole in a sheet.
If you could buy a box from Japan, I would do it. And just press a button and make it happen, I would do it.
So, yeah, look, the pleasure thing, I suppose, is one of my angles, my point of difference to a lot of other sex educators who, you know, the emphasis is definitely on safer sex practices and being conscious around what you're doing, but also sex for sex sake, pleasure for pleasure's sake is something that I really strongly advocate. And it lends itself very much to, you know, a whole range of mental health issues and general wellness is that allowing, giving yourself permission to prioritise your pleasure can actually really eliminate a lot of mental health issues for a lot of folks. We live in such a shameful society where, you know, we're all shamed about this. I take drugs, yes. I do this, and there's so much shame, and this strive to be perfect and strive to be flawless, and it's bullshit, I reckon. I think focusing on pleasure and bringing awareness to your behaviour.
I find
is
the pleasure thing is always left out of not only sex but also the drug discussion. Like everyone's talking about, how bad drugs are evil. It's like, well, surely you need to explain. Well, people go, oh, well, then why would you take them? It's like, well, because it's fun.
They make you feel really good. And nobody actually says.
No one says that taking drugs is fun.
Exactly. So a lot of the youngsters with the sex education programs and the drug education programs, and I will say, I actually don't have anything to do with the drug education program. That's not my area. But the sex education program side of it, it really emphasizes the importance of pleasure, the importance of, you know, communication skills that go with that, obviously. And discussing things like porn, which, you know, has been a lot of information in the media about it lately. And people sort of still taking really polarized views of, oh, it's absolutely terrible, or it's anti-love, and that sex and love have to be connected. And so the youngsters get really confused with all this stuff.
Do you find that the youngsters that you're teaching that porn has had an influence on them? Have they seen a lot of porn? Do you find that their ideas are kind of formed by porn in some ways?
I think to a degree. I mean, certainly a lot of them have accessed porn, and we talk about that. And the potential problem with what they're seeing is that they're seeing often what's this really extreme kind of porn, which in and of itself is, to my mind, kind of unpleasant, but it's accessible and it's there. And I really think we just need to talk about it instead of going, oh, you shouldn't be watching that. It's terrible. It's degrading. I mean, it is what it is. It's just,
but it's also kind of unrealistic in a lot of ways, too.
It is. I mean, these people are stunt people. So with these kind of double, triple penetration scenes that are going on, it looks, you know, it's visually spectacular, but these people are stunt people. It's like,
So you think that rather than trying to prohibit it, we should just tell them what it is.
Absolutely. I think prohibition only drives the urge further underground, and that's when it's really dangerous. Bringing it out into the open and having honest and frank conversations about it is, if you want to try, you know, double penetration, fine, knock yourself out.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, I'll be back in a minute.
This is what you need to know. And also exploring your motives for, well, why do you want to do it? And just, it's certainly not, again, lifting the shame out of it. But mostly, look, the kids that I'm dealing with, they're not really asking about double penetration at this stage in their evolution. They might get into it when they're sort of in their early 20s. But at this stage,
I was going to say, if they are, they have hidden talents.
They're going to get A's for everything.
Do you ever talk to the kids, like these young queer kids, about not strictly like relationship stuff? Because it strikes me that if you grow up straight, then you know how dating works and you know how girls work and how to ask a girl out and stuff. But if you come out of the closet, you know, in Bendigo or something at 17, you've kind of missed out on that education. And I wonder whether they ask you, how do I ask a boy out? Or do I have to date someone before I kiss them?
So there's certainly, I mean, I guess we sort of talk about that etiquette idea, and we talk about that notion of, you know, love and sex, are they the same, are they not the same? And where I think a lot of hetero kids get slammed with that information of, you know, a girl behaves like this and a boy behaves like this, and this is what you're meant to do. Not saying, I still see a lot of hetero youngsters really struggle with that as a concept anyway, again, because it's kind of bullshit and it doesn't actually work. So, of course, they struggle with it. And with queer kids, they seem to be, you know, in the queer community, the role models, which are guys like you, I guess.
Abandon ship.
Oh, no.
It's us and Glee, folks. That's all you've got.
So they're going to take their cues from people in the community that are sort of higher profile media people and that kind of stuff. So, and the wonderful thing about the internet, of course, aside from the kids watching extreme porn, which is a debate in and unto itself, they do have access to websites and things where they can get information, not necessarily about courtship rituals, but once they've started in being involved in organisations like Minus 18 and they do start meeting other kids with their similar interests and similar backgrounds, they've got a little network of mates that they can start bouncing ideas off of. And I think as a youngster, to have an adult come in and say, well, this is how the dating process works and you should do it like this, takes away a bit of the fun and excitement.
Yeah.
So and also, I just kind of sit there and hold the space for them. And if they have a question and say, you know, I've met this guy and I'm kind of into him, but I don't know what to do next, then I might talk to them about it in more depth. But mostly I'm not going to tell them how to navigate their sex lives in terms of striking up conversations. These are life skills that you really only learn by trial and error and practice like you guys did.
Well, I guess it just comes down to kind of socialization. A lot of these kids, particularly from the country, probably have never spent, you know, very rarely get to spend time with a room full of other gay people.
Yeah, absolutely. And so it's that, and also the permission to be bawdy with it, the permission to be, to really camp it up if that's what they want to do or not. And because we get a lot of queer girls in there as well, there's that whole other dynamic and how those sort of two groups mix in together, and then some kids who are gender questioning who don't quite know where they sit on the spectrum of gender. And that's a whole process as well, because then it's the sexuality no longer is a question of straight or gay. It's how does this person identify and how does then that determine how they're going to approach relationships, that sort of thing. But, you know, the key is always respect. Respect and communication. It can't go wrong, you know?
So, Cindy, how do these kids get into it? How do these chumps who keep emailing us saying, how do you use lube? How do they get out of our inbox and into your organisation, which is where they probably should be?
For the youngsters for minus 18?
Yeah.
But go to the website, minus18.org.au.
Awesome.
There you go, Bevan. Newcastle, wherever the fuck you're from.
minus18.org.au. I'm assuming there'll be lots of kind of resources and contacts on that website
loads and loads.
It sounds like a really good thing to get. Can you imagine being 17 and going to a gay disco? Oh, my God. It would have saved so much time.
The first time I went, I was 18, and I'd been, you know, out for a while.
But it wasn't with a bunch of peers. It would have been with a bunch of old fucking meth queens at Seventh Heaven.
I had been led to believe, you know, from the way my straight friends talked about gay people, that I was going to turn up and it was going to be this free-for-all fuck fest. Everyone was going to be having sex. And I was terrified. And when I got to the Peel, I was highly disappointed that there were a lot of ordinary-looking bogans with terrible hair dancing around to fucking Kylie Minogue. And I was like, what was I so scared of? No one tried to even rape me in the toilet. Really disappointing. I'd really girded myself up for it because that's what straight people had told me.
Let's face it.
That's terrible. You maybe need to have a session with me, Adam.
Maybe, yes. You have had nights like that since.
I know, since then it's been like that. And Cindy, can I say thank you very much for bringing up the whole pleasure thing, because apart from Toby, I think if you're not enjoying having sex, then stop doing it with that person.
Do it in a different way.
There's a lot of reasons why people have sex, and pleasure is kind of just one of them. But pleasure can also come in a bunch of different forms. So we were talking about the drugs and we're talking about all sorts of things. The things that motivates people to do the things that they do is wide and varied. But pleasure is one of the things that is often not really valued in our culture, that you know, if you have to prioritize between work and pleasure, often work will come first, unless of course you have a job that brings you pleasure and then you're winning all round. But sometimes when we over prioritize work things and practical things, and we forget about pleasure, that can cause imbalances in our mental health.
And our own pleasure, though, not just pleasure for the other person, not doing everything the other person
but
wants you to do and nothing to you.
Just in general, there's such a culture of restriction. Have less coffee, have less food, have less fucking, what's the latest thing, like rice after midnight, you know, like have less carbs or whatever.
No carbs after dark. After midnight.
And also, like, and I would kind of argue generally, just in education in general, everyone's kind of, you know, kids these days are kind of being educated to be cogs in a corporate machine. You know, there's not much kind of education on how to have a good life, how to be a good person, how to feel good about yourself. That kind of stuff. It's all about you've got to get this job and you've got to have a big screen
TV. But you
can
create a space where people find it out for themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
And just go, do you know what? Sleeping in on Saturday feels really good. I'm going to
Oh my God, it's awesome. Yeah.
Oh my God.
And then it's up to us as parents to instill that level of guilt and paranoia in our children. That means they never enjoy anything again.
Fantastic. Oh,
thank you so much, Cindy.
Thanks, Cindy.
You're very, very welcome. It was my pleasure.
Oh, she's good. She's good.
She's
isn't she?
Good. Yes.
Are you scissoring some woman while you say that?
Maybe.
I am what is known as a difficult artist.
Talk Puffy to me.
Actually, there's your point. Don't get involved full stop.
Don't get involved full stop.
It's too dangerous.
Like, I actually am starting to become resentful of her for bringing it up in the first place.
Is she bringing it up just to find out if he's brought it up? Is that
I don't know. I don't know.
But this is the kind of the particular kind of domain of the gay friend, isn't it?
Yes. And it's annoying.
Yeah.
I don't like being the gay friend sometimes. I don't like being the one that has... I've been to 8 abortions, for fuck's sake. I never fucked any
You've
of those
only
bitches.
Seen 7 of my shows, though, Adam.
No, one of them was Wes's.
Oh, okay.
But I've never, you know, I never got any of those fucking bitches knocked up. I never had anything to do with these terminations.
Yeah.
But I'm the one that has to go because I can't see him today. And it's like, oh, okay. So you need someone to come with you because I know you're going to be under general anesthetic and you can't go home on your own.
Yeah, wow. But you know
what? Hello, Mr. Responsible.
The flip side of that, though, is that it goes to the heart that gay people, especially of our age, who have had to have some knocks on the way through, are resilient and wise.
Yes.
That is the compliment they are being paid, that is being paid to us.
Yes. I get that, but I want to be shallow and judgmental.
I draw the line at 4 abortions. If you're abortion number 5, nah, sorry.
No, these weren't different people. Like, this was, you know, 8 abortions.
I didn't think it was 8 abortions.
It wasn't one person.
It was like the one person on the same day.
No, it was Octomum. Yeah.
On the upside, though, I did go to one where... This friend of mine.
Did you hire a clown?
Yes. No. I was like I went to the clinic, like, you know, where you sit in the waiting room, and I was like, I've been here before. And I went there once when my mum had she had to have some operation thing.
Yeah.
She was, you know, going through menopause and had to do some things. It was all the build up or something. I don't know what goes on. And I was sitting there at the age of, I think, 19.
Oh, God.
With my, you know, 48-year-old mum. And all these people looking at me like, ugh.
Oh,
it's a May, December.
When I find, and I was like, why is everyone looking at me like, you know, maybe I'll smell because I went
out. So at the time, you didn't know it was.
I didn't know that. And then I went to the first abortion and I was like, oh.
Baby daddy.
Now I know why everyone was judging me. It's full of teenage girls crying. It's very distressing.
Right, yes.
And so, yeah, there's all these teenage girls crying, all really upset. And my friend comes out. Like Doolally from the general anesthetic puts her hands on her hips and goes, look, it's the new me.
Oh my God, she's camper than you are.
Oh my God.
So inappropriate.
Oh my
So, you know, maybe there is an upside to 8 abortions.
Wow.
And being the best friend of people who are really fucking needy. Just nothing? Just continue to do nothing?
Yeah, I reckon. You've got an out. Because he hasn't mentioned it, you've got an out. You can't get in the middle and you don't have to.
Right.
Just wash your hands of it and walk away.
Right.
And talk to us about it. Keep us updated on what's going on. Because I want to know how that pans out.
Sausages, can you see my lovely sausages?
Talk Puffy to me.
Oh, that's been the Puffcast. Thanks to all our special guests. And thank you for writing in. Please continue to write Puffcast at talkingpuffy.com.au or on the Facebook page.
Yeah, go on.
Or, you know, wherever else you want to.
Can we do one episode where it's just a top and a tail and then 30 minutes of bonus track?
Yeah, we do.
That's pretty much it. I remember.
Oh, God. Oh,
sorry, Wes is here again.
He's just uncrossed his legs.
We'll be back next time on the Puffcast.
Hi.
He wants you to buy an insurance plan.
Have you thought about providing for your retirement?
That's right. Do you want to protect your flaps from massive black cock?
Why are you selling black cock insurance?
Yeah.
Are you?
Yeah, prolapse insurance. Yeah.
You kept that a secret from me.
Lucky with you're with Amy. We'll come and push it back in for you.
Talk poofy to me.